August 4th, 1925. One who does the divine will is in continuous communication with all created things and is sustained by all of creation. After going through various days of total privation of my most sweet Jesus, I kept repeating my sorrowful refrain, "Everything is over for me. Ah, I will never see him again. I will never hear his voice," which so much delighted me. Ah, I have been abandoned by the one who formed all of my contentment and was everything to me. What a long martyrdom. What a life, without Jesus. But while my heart was drowned in pains, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior, and taking me in his arms, he placed my arms around his neck, and I abandoned my head upon his breath in an act which expressed that I could not take it anymore. And Jesus, squeezing me tightly to himself, leaned his knees on my breast, pressing very intensely, and said to me, "My daughter, you must die continuously." And while he was saying this, he made me share in various pains. Then, assuming a more affable look, added, "My daughter, what do you fear, if the power of my will is in you? Is it so true that my will is in you? It is so true that my will is in you, that in one instant it transformed you into my pain, and you offered yourself to receive them with love. While you were suffering, you stretched out your arms to embrace my will. And as you embraced it, everything that lives in my will, the angels, the saints, my celestial mama, and the very divinity, felt the grip of your embrace, and they all ran toward you to embrace you, and in chorus they said, 'How pleasing and dear is the embrace of our little exiled one, who lives on earth in order to do the will of God alone, just as we do in heaven. She is our joy. She is the new and only feast which comes to us from the earth.' Oh, if you knew what it means for a soul to live in my will, there is no division between her and heaven. Wherever my will is, she is. Her acts, her pains, her words are in act and operative in every place in which my will is. And since my will is everywhere, the soul places herself in the order of creation, and through the electricity of the supreme will, she is in communication with all created things, just as the created things are in order and harmony among themselves. Each one is the support of the other, and not one of them can move. And if even one thing created by me moved, may this never be, the creation would become all upset. There is a secret accord among them, a mysterious force, such that while all the spheres live in the space, suspended in the air, without any support, by the power of communication which they have among themselves, everything sustains the other. In the same way, one who does my will is in communion, in communication with all, and is sustained by all the works of her Creator. Therefore, everyone recognizes her, loves her, and offers her the electricity, the secret, in order to live together with them, suspended between heaven and earth, all sustained only by the power of the divine and supreme will."
Volume 18, August 9, 1925. To return God in love for all created things forms part of the primary duty of the creature. The divine will was given as primary life of the creature. My Jesus, give me strength. You see how great is the repugnance I feel in writing. If it wasn't for blessed obedience, and for fear of displeasing you, I would not have written even one word ever again. Your long privation stays me and render me incapable of doing anything. And so I need greater help in order to put on paper that which your holy will suggests to me. Therefore, give me your hand and be always with me. Now, while I was fusing myself in the holy divine will, in order to return God in love for all he did in creation, out of love for the creatures, a thought told me that it was not necessary to do that, that this way of praying was not pleasing to my sweet Jesus, and that these are all inventions made up in my mind. And my always adorable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, you must know that this way of praying, that is, to return God in love for all the things he has created, is a divine right and forms part of the primary duty of the creature. The creation was made out of love for man. Even more, our love was so great that had it been necessary, we would have created as many heavens, suns, stars, seas, earth, plants, and everything else for as many creatures as were to come to the light of this world, so that each one of them might have a creation for herself, a universe of her own, just as when everything was created, and Adam was the only spectator of all creation, he could enjoy all the good he wanted. And if we did not do so, it was because man could enjoy everything anyway, as if it were his own, even if others too might enjoy it. In fact, who cannot say, the sun is mine, and enjoy the light of the sun as much as he wants? Or the water is mine, and quench his thirst and use it for his necessities? Or the earth, the fire, the air are mine, as well as many other things created by me. And if it seems that man lacks something, or that there is hardship in life, it is because of sin, barring the way to my benefits, prevents the things created by me from being abundant toward the ungrateful creature. So, given all this, that in all created things, God bound his love for each creature, she had the duty to return God with her little love, with her gratitude, with her thank you to the one who had done so much for her. Not returning God in love for all that he has done in the creation of man is the first fraud that the creature makes to God. It is usurping his gifts without even recognizing where they come from and the one who loved her so much. Therefore, this is the primary duty of the creature, and it is so indispensable and important that the one who took to heart all of our glory, our defense, our interest, did nothing but wander through all the spheres from the tiniest to the greatest thing created by God in order to impress her return of love, of glory, of thanksgiving for all and in the name of all human generations. Yes, it was exactly my celestial mama who filled heaven and earth with the return for all that God had done in creation. After her came my humanity, which fulfilled this duty so sacrosanct, in which the creature had so much failed, and which through me rendered my celestial father favorable toward guilty man. So it was through my prayers and those of my inseparable mama. Don't you want then to repeat my own prayers? Even more, for this I called you into my will, that you may associate yourself with us and follow and repeat our acts. So I tried as much as I could to go through all created things, to give to my God return of love, of glory, and of gratitude for all that he had done in creation. I seemed to see in all created things the return of love of my Empress Mama and of my beloved Jesus. This return formed the most beautiful harmony between heaven and earth and bound the Creator to the creature. Each return of love was a key, a little sonata of enrapturing celestial music. My sweet Jesus added, "My daughter, all created things were nothing other than one act of our will which released them. They cannot move nor change the effects, the position, and the office which each one of them received by its creator. They are nothing other than mirrors in which man was to admire the reflections of the qualities of his creator. Somewhere the power, somewhere the beauty, in other created things the goodness, the immensity, the light. In sum, each created thing preaches to man the qualities of its creator and says with mute voices how much I love him." But in creating man, there was not only our will, but an emanation from which came out from our womb a part of ourselves, which we infused in him. This is why we created him with a free will, so that he might grow evermore in beauty, in wisdom, in virtue. In our likeness, he could multiply his goods, his graces. Oh, if the sun had a free will and could form two suns out of one, four suns out of two, what glory, what honor would it not give to its creator, and how much glory also to itself? Yet the created things cannot do this because they are without intelligence and free will, and because they were created to serve man. Therefore, all our love was concentrated in man, and this is why we placed all creation at his disposal, fully ordered for him, so that man might use our works as many stairs and ways in order to come to us, to know us, and to love us. But what is our sorrow in seeing that man did love our created things even more, his beautiful soul made by us, transformed by sin into ugliness, and not only underdeveloped in good, but horrid at the sight. Yet, as if all that was created for him were not enough for our love, in order to preserve this free will, we gave him the greatest gift, which surpassed all other gifts. We gave him our will as persevere antidote. We gave him our will as preserver, antidote, prevention, and help for his free will. So our will placed itself at his disposal to give him all the aids which man might need. Our will was given to him as primary life and as prime act of all his works. Having to grow in grace and in beauty, he needed a supreme will, which would not only keep company with his human will, but substitute for the works of the creature. But he despised also this great gift and did not want to recognize it. Do you see then how our will forms part of the primary life of the creature. As long as it maintains its prime act, its life, the creature grows in grace, in light, in beauty, preserving the bond of the prime act of creation. And we receive the glory of all created things because they serve our will, operating in the creature, the only purpose of all creation. Therefore, I recommend to you, may our will be life for you and the prime act of all your actions.
Jesus has given us a lot of information here, and we would feel really bad if we didn't follow it. He's trying to get us to be in the divine will. He's telling us how wonderful it is, and the beauty and the wisdom and the virtue involved. And then he sums it up by saying, do you see then how our will forms part of the primary life of the creature as long as it maintains its prime act? That's its key there. As long as it maintains its prime act, its life, the creature grows in grace, in light, in beauty. So we're going to grow in grace and light and beauty as we stick out, teach these learnings on the divine will. He's just preserving the bond of the prime act of the creation. And we receive the glory of all created things because they serve our will operating in the creature. The only purpose of all creation. Therefore, I recommend to you, may our will be life for you and the prime act of all your actions. So all this reading, he's coaxing us. He's given all the reasons we want to be in the divine will, and we want to pay attention to what he's doing. And that's what we're doing here every day. We're learning a little bit more and a little bit more. We're getting deeper into it. And we're getting more to understand a little by, like he said, little by little. Amen.
August 15th, 1925, all created things walk toward man. The Feast of the Assumption should be called the Feast of the Divine Will. I continue to fuse myself in the Holy Divine Will in order to give to my Jesus the return of my little love for all that he has done for mankind in creation. And my beloved Jesus moving in my interior in order to give more value to my little love, did what I was doing together with me. Then he told me, my daughter, all created things were made for man, and all of them run toward man. They have no feet, but they all walk. They all have motion in order to find him and to be found. The light of the sun starts from the height of the heavens in order to find the creature, illumine her, and warm her. The water walks to reach even into the human bowels to quench her thirst and to refresh her. The plant, the seed, walks, opens the earth, and forms its fruit to give itself to man. There is not one created thing that does not have a step, a motion toward the one to whom the eternal Maker had directed it in its creation. My will that walks continuously toward the creature in created things never stops. It is all motion toward the one whom it loves so much. Yet, who says a thank you to my will that brings her the light of the sun to illumine her, the water that can be drunk to quench her thirst, the bread to satisfy her hunger, the flower and the fruit to cheer her, and many other things to make her happy? Would it not be fair that since my will does everything for man, man would do everything to do my will? Oh, if you knew the feast that my will makes in created things, when it walks toward one who does my will operating and fulfilled in the creature, and my will operating in created things, kiss as they meet, harmonize, love each other, and form the hymn of adoration to their Creator and the greatest portent of all creation. Created things feel honored when they serve a creature who is animated by that same will, which forms their own lives. On the other hand, my will takes the attitude of sorrow in those same created things when it has to serve one who does not do my will. This is why many times created things place themselves against man, strike him, chastise him. They then feel superior to man because they preserve intact within themselves that divine will by which they were animated from the beginning of their creation, while man descended to the bottom, not keeping the will of his creator within himself. After this, I began to think of the feast of my celestial mama assumed into heaven. And my sweet Jesus, with a tender and moving tone, added, "My daughter, the true name of this feast should be Feast of the Divine Will. It was the human will that closed heaven, broke the bonds with its creator, made miseries and sufferings enter the field, and put an end and to the feast that the creature was to enjoy in heaven. Now this creature, queen of all, by doing the will of the Eternal One, always and in everything, even more, it can be said that her life was divine will alone, opened the heavens, bound herself to the Eternal One, and restored in heaven the feasts with the creature. Every act she did in the supreme will was a feast that she started in heaven. It was sons that she formed to adorn this feast. It was melodies that she sent to delight the celestial Jerusalem. Therefore, the true cause of this feast is the eternal will operating and fulfilled in my celestial mama. It operated such prodigies in her as to astonish heaven and earth, chain the Eternal One with indissoluble bonds of love, and enrapture the Word even from her womb. The very angels enraptured repeated among themselves, "From where comes so much glory, so much honor, such greatness and prodigies never seen before in this excelling creature? Yet she is coming from the exile." Astonished, they recognize the will of their creator as life operating in her. And trembling, they said, "Holy, holy, holy, honor and glory to the will of our Sovereign Lord, and glory to Mary, thrice holy, she who let this supreme will operate. So it is my will that was and is celebrated more than everything on the day of her assumption into heaven. It was my will alone that made my most holy mother ascend so high as to distinguish her among all. Everything else would have been as nothing had she not possessed the prodigy of my will. It was my will that gave her divine fecundity and made of her the mother of the Word. It was my will that made her see and embrace all creatures together, making of her the mother of all, and loving all with the love of divine maternity, constituting her queen of all. It made her rule and dominate. On that day, my will received the first honors, the glory and the abundant fruit of its work in creation, and the unending feast began for the glorification of its work in my beloved mama. And even though heaven was opened by me, and many saints already possessed the celestial fatherland, when the celestial queen was assumed into heaven, we waited for her who had honored it so much and contained the true prodigy of the most holy will to make the first feast for the supreme volition because she herself was the primary cause of it, having fulfilled the supreme will in everything. Oh, how the whole of heaven magnified, blessed, and praised the eternal will upon seeing this sublime queen, all surrounded by the eternal Son of the Supreme Will, enter the heavens into the midst of the celestial court. They saw her all studded with the power of the Supreme Fiat and saw that not one breath had been in her which did not have this fiat impressed in it. Astonished, all the celestial spirits looked at her and said, "Ascend, ascend higher. It is justice that she, who so much honored the supreme fiat, and through whom we find ourselves in the celestial fatherland, have the highest throne and be our queen. The greatest honor that my mother received was to see the divine will glorified in her."
When we have Jesus honoring her mother like this, his mother like this, in my mind, I was thinking, many of the Christians are going to really taken back a little bit, maybe, I don't know, when they hear this, or maybe they're just say, "Thank you, hallelujah." You know, we don't know where they're coming from, because an awful lot of Christians want to play her down, you know, not to give her, but Jesus knows that, and he's given them the opportunity to, in the later days, you know, to accept her. And all I have to do is read this, and they'll understand, because we were told that in the end, there'll be time when everyone will be in the divine will. And this reading will be an awful lot of help for the Protestants that are trying to be one with Jesus in the divine will. He'll take care of it. Just this reading will take care of all that. And that's why when I'm reading that with the reader, I just thought of that. But wow, he knows how to say it. He's saying it, you know. And you couldn't doubt how wonderful the Blessed Mother is. And when you have Jesus explaining it, that was somebody else would have the time to make a comment on that.
Just like you said, Deacon, it says it right here, plain and simple. So it is my will that was. And is celebrated more than everything on the day of her assumption into heaven. I can't make it any plainer than that. His will.
That's right. It's one sentence after another. He made use of his time, didn't he? You know, with the way he put it, and made it so easy to understand, and they can't have any argument about this because it's Jesus talking. You know, so the Blessed Mother will finally get all her people that she loves, all the Christians that she loves, to accept her and to understand her, because that's all part of the whole picture.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this as a convert to Catholicism. It's been a growth for me to learn about Mary and to understand this, and this really hits me today, and how she lived in God's divine will in her life, and then how she is given the glory for her humility and her faithfulness while she lived on earth. And she's just a beautiful example of a holy, godly woman.
One of the points that I remember from the divine will was that everything good comes through her. I mean, I've heard it before, but I didn't quite take it to the point where I learned it here. Everything comes through her and goes out to the world. So if you're experiencing God and you're Protestant, that grace came through Mary. If you're a Hindu, it comes through Mary. Everybody in the world, any graces that they experience or God in any way, it comes through her. We needed her for that grace to descend upon all humankind. So even if you're an atheist and you're somehow receiving grace, it's coming through her. It's what an important aspect she is. Without her, we would be truly lost in more ways than we can imagine. Anybody else?
In the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your assortment of teachings today that bring us closer to you in the divine will. We ask you to continue to bless us and continue to send the Holy Ghost upon us. Benedicta vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filii, Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
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 Come, divine will. Come, divine will.
Fiat, come divine will. Fiat.
Fiat, come divine will.
Fiat, come divine will. Thank you. Have a blessed and beautiful weekend.
Have a blessed day. Thank you, Deacon. God bless everyone.